And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Oh my gosh. The text message, by the way, since some of those were related to the last segment, let me get those real quick. I'll see what I got over here. What we got? Robbie from Aniana says, it's all garbage. They're going to shut the country down so the Democrats can cheat with mail-in ballots. There you go. Marcus from Huntsville said, with regards to that app, said $20 million will buy you a South Birmingham college. Oh, that's boomer. That's so right.
It is.
That's why we have such amazing listeners. $20 million is that, how much
that's
Birmingham
the loan, right?
Southern needed.
Yeah.
And they spent it on an app. Holy crap. You know what? Somebody's got to call either Yellowhammer or 1819 News or somebody. They've got to do a story on this app and see where it went and how that money was really used. That's just,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Boomer and I agree. All right. Badger from Athens says, breathing hot, moist air creates a bacteria-rich environment. Wouldn't be that bad. Okay. Thank you, Badger. Appreciate you. Leanne from Huntsville. Oh, the mask does do something. It holds germs onto your face. There's that. Alan from Arab says, but we still have an election year coming up. We need a new crisis, or at least another crisis of COVID. Jason from Jasper. Well, this might be a serious text. Let me see what he says. He says, I was not even allowed in the hospital when I dropped my mother off. I had to drop her off the door, and she looked so scared, and that was the last time I saw her alive. Oh, my gosh. So they told me to wait in the parking lot or go home. And they called me a few hours later saying they were rushing her to UAB in the middle of the night. And then they called my sister and me to let us know that she didn't make it. She passed away in her sleep. And honestly, her health didn't get terrible until after she got vaccinated and got the booster. Well, Jason, I am so sorry to hear that, man. I just, blessings on you and yours. And that's an awful story. I mean, the very idea that you had to drop her off and then never see her again. That cannot happen again. I mean, this is freaking America. That cannot happen. If we can put a man on the moon, then by God, your family can walk in the hospital and get to see you. Figure it out. Not that hard. Not that hard. Oh, but I guarantee you the freaking lawyers got it. Well, there's liabilities involved. Shut up. Crazy Joe from Decatur sent me a meme about Green New Deal magic buses, and I appreciate that. I'll be looking at that here in a minute. I'm still getting over that text from Jason from Jasper. John from Huntsville. Not sure you've talked about this or not, but apparently the same medical people who verbally attacked Joe Rogan and many others are saying that ivermectin was bad for people and now saying it's good to take ivermectin. I'll be honest with you. When I had it, I found a doctor who let me have some ivermectin. And guess what? I'm still here. Here's the thing. A good doctor does not allow his bosses to tell him what he's supposed to do. A good doctor practices medicine by doing what is right for the patient. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's like being a lawyer. A lawyer goes to court. You don't go to court and say, well, I can only argue that which my boss said I could. No, you research case precedent. You find the statutory means by which you can defend your client's interests. And you go in there with guns a-blazing, and you do everything it takes to win the day for your client. Same is true with practicing medicine. But so many of them right now are owned by the major hospitals and the associations, and it's just not good. Chip from Muscle Shoals, regarding masking, okay, you gave me numbers. I don't know what this means. Anyway, N95 mask, he says, like installing a chain link fence to keep out mosquitoes. There you go. I can understand that one. Thank you. Appreciate that, Chip. Listen, we're going to come back here in a minute. We're not quite there yet for the break, but we're close. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you the next dipper is really kind of maddening if you get down to it. It's okay. So if you're going to say we want to encourage you to use electric buses, okay, but we may not have the right time here. Because the infrastructure is not in place, because the technology is not complete, and because it's oh so freaking expensive. I tell you what, I have time for one caller. Let me do that. Boomer, I don't want to shortchange her, but let's go ahead and see if I can take that call right now. Line three, Gina from Pell City. Hey, Gina, how you doing?
Hi, Phil. Great to talk to you. There was a law passed in 2021 called Poppy's Law, which was named after Harold Socks. His granddaughter got it passed, which allows every patient in a hospital to have one visitor a day. And then it was expanded this year to cover nursing home patients. And Representative, I think Dan Garrett got on board with that too, because his wife passed away with COVID. So just want everyone to know, if you have a patient in the hospital, you can go visit in the state of Alabama, and you can go to the nursing home.
Yeah, and Gina, by the way, thank you. I just covered that a minute ago. That's it was actually Dan Roberts. He's in the state senate now.
Yes.
And that bill was actually expanded in the name of his wife, Ann Roberts, as well as Harold Socks, and Garland. Yes. Gudger. Senator Gudger was the one who carried that. You are so right. Gina, thank you very much for that. You're right. And let's make sure we don't ever let ourselves get polled that we can't go see our loved one. I'm going to tell you right now, if Charlene was in that position, I think they would have to go ahead and restrain me. I'd be looking for a lab coat to portray myself as a doctor and walk the halls of the hospital until I found her room. That's just the way I unbelievable what doctors and hospitals were allowed to get away with. Hospitals mostly in that regard. All right, listen, music is on. I know I'm walking into a break right now. We're going to come back and switch gears, so y'all stay tuned, because we're going to talk about Magic Bus. And it's a nut roll. We'll see it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I'm talking about covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. And I mean, this show, Right Side Radio, we send our signal way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia and Tennessee and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, it's time for the next dipper in line. Today, I'm shifting to, well, I'm calling it the Magic Bus. Just saying. Every day I get in the queue to get on the bus that takes me to you. I'm so nervous I just sit and smile. That's nice. Boomer, did you do that? That was...
Oh, yeah. We had to get it ready.
Oh, got a little Magic Bus by The Who. It was The Who, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. The Who's.
That's awesome. Magic Bus. Okay. Hey, listen, here's the deal. In case you didn't know, the push for green energy, which, by the way, I'll be very clear. I'm for an all of the above energy policy. If it works best, make it a priority. If it doesn't work best, make it a second tier priority. All right. In other words, I don't mind if you want to have a windmill. Okay. I don't mind if you want solar panels on your roof. Great. Don't tell me we can't drill for oil. Do all of the above. It makes good sense. Why would you limit your options when you can begin to do them all and blow the world out of the water? I mean, at that point, we're literally, you know, we have everything it takes in this country to be completely energy independent. The fact that we are not is a leadership issue. It's not an availability issue. It's not a technology issue. It's a leadership issue. And so, yeah, we could do all of the above. Now, that being said, I'm also a huge believer in the free market. If government has to prop up an industry for it to compete, then it is not truly a competitive industry. You know what I'm saying? If government is the one paying to give a private sector company a leg up on the competition – then ain't nobody building a better mousetrap, and the free market is really not free. Case in point, you'll be happy to know, I will start off with some good news, that George Soros just lost a whole lot of money. Story came out about 5 days ago. I got this one off of Daily Wire. The Soros firm lost up to $105 million on a now bankrupt green energy firm that was boosted by Biden. So this is a company, by the way, that made electric school buses. The company is called Proterra. So this story came out on August 16th. It says the investment firm run by liberal billionaire George Soros was a major investor in a now bankrupt electric bus company that had been heralded by the Biden administration as the future of green transit. And it lost as much as $105 million in the 2 years since the company went public. Soros Fund Management was one of the earliest investors in Proterra when the company went public in June of 21. And he had to begin offloading shares almost every quarter ever since. Lost $105 million, and Proterra has now filed for bankruptcy. The company received, are you ready for this? Significant support from the Biden administration, with the president taking a tour of one of Proterra's electric battery facilities in April of 21, declaring that companies like Proterra were going to help the United States to, quote, own the future. Well, not with Proterra, because they're bankrupt and no longer in existence. So, wow, once again, we have the fact that buses and other factors within green energy, the push, are literally being propped up by government. One more piece in that particular article. It says the company's collapse came as its buses failed to perform across the country. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for example, $24 million of Proterra buses were taken off the road after it was discovered their electric batteries did not provide enough power for the buses to complete their routes. The heavy batteries were also reportedly cracking the bus chassis. God almighty. Leading to safety concerns. You think? Another one of Philadelphia's Proterra buses caught fire in November of 22. Fires have also occurred on the company's electric buses in Connecticut and California. Yeah, but hey, they're going to help us own the future. It's awesome. It'll be great. We need to do this. How about, here's an idea. Let's give out grants so that you can, you know, buy something you wouldn't be able to buy otherwise with tax dollars. Well, that was in Pennsylvania, right? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Wait, one day before that, a story was run on Fox 43 in Pennsylvania. York, PA, 1.4 million Pennsylvania students will board school buses this year, most of them climbing onto diesel buses. And officials at Penn Environment say the diesel fleets are harming the earth and hurting students. Just one bus, oh Lord, can produce 23 tons of waste and harmful greenhouse gases. One nonprofit called the Moms Clean Air Force says diesel exhaust contains 40 known cancer-causing elements. I guess they've actually never ridden in the back of a deuce and a half truck in the military. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Or stood in the prop wash of a C-130 while you hot load paratroopers. Just, you know, it's okay. The Environmental Protection Agency's Clean School Bus Program is offering school districts and bus contractors across the country the chance to turn their fleets electric. Pray tell, how would they do that? With tax dollars. The federal grant and rebate program will award $5 billion. $5 billion with a B, dollars over the next 5 years, enough to replace more than 13,500 buses from the model year 2010 and older. Pennsylvania schools, oh, that's the same state where they were having the buses break down. Yeah. Pennsylvania schools, wow, where'd it go? Pennsylvania schools received 22 electric buses in the last round of funding. Some Harrisburg, PA students will soon be riding them, but there are some barriers to using the technology. And then this one guy who's executive director of the State School Bus Association, because everything has an association, including school buses, says we have to factor in the infrastructure cost for charging. You think? Says an AC charging unit, you know, it can cost up to $5,000 to $10,000. And then, you know, we got to charge multiple at times, so we need the bigger units that cost $25,000 to $30,000. Really? Here's the kicker. Priority school districts can receive up to $395,000 per bus. 395,000 $1,000 per bus, helping to cover the cost of the necessary charging stations and batteries. Each new electric bus can cost 3 to 4 times more than a diesel bus. And he goes on to actually admit, without having that grant funding, most districts and contractors are not going to be prepared, and they're not going to be able to carry the weight of that burden or that financial burden. So King said electric buses will hopefully pay for themselves over time. Did you, the madness of this, the absolute madness of this. Hey, here's a thing that doesn't work as good. It's going to be harder to maintain. It might not even drive as far as you need, and you can't afford it. So we're going to give you tax dollars so you can buy some so that we can say we did a push for green energy. Everybody good? All on board? Okay, here's the money. Buy the bus. But the bus broke down. Don't talk about it. Just buy a bus. If it breaks down, we'll buy you another one. That's what we're looking at here. That is classic government. And you know what's happening right now? I guarantee you there are companies that are startups with no great history who are like, dude, man, there's a lot of money in buses. Let's build a bus. We'll put batteries in it. How's that going to work? I don't know, but there's a lot of money. And if we apply for a grant, maybe we'll get it. Cool. How about this? You look at that article, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania bad experience. Pennsylvania getting more money for more bad experiences. How about this? Story on the Washington Examiner from May 29th of this year. One Michigan school official admitted that his district's move to using electric buses was less than the government had touted it to be. Really? Says Emil Lozana, the environmental sustainability director of Michigan's fourth largest school district. They got a job. First of all, they got a dude who works full-time in a school district whose title is Environmental Sustainability Director. All right, problem number one. Ann Arbor Public Schools Board of Education said the district's electric school bus fleet has a lot of downtime and performance issues. He said it's been a tough 2.5 years with this program. We've been learning a lot about the technology. Electric buses are approximately 5 times more expensive than regular buses, and the electrical infrastructure, which was originally estimated to be only about $50,000, give or take, for those 4 buses, ended up being more like $200,000. Ann Arbor Public Schools reportedly purchased its electric buses with a state grant that came off of a major legal settlement. Last year, the Biden administration announced another $17 million in grants to fund zero-emission electric school buses. And despite the bus's frustrating performance, Ann Arbor Public Schools remains committed to using the electric buses as incentives become available. In other words, if there's money, we're going to do it. Conservative group Michigan Freedom Fund blasted the school district's commitment, saying Michigan Democrats have put the electric cart before the horse. I love that line, by the way. They put the electric cart before the horse. That's what's happening right now. We're taking a break right now. We get back, though, I'm going to tell you more about magic buses and the fact that they are actually here in Alabama. Did you know that? There are school districts in Alabama that are buying what I just described for you, but they're not buying them really. They're using your tax dollars being handed down to push an agenda to buy something that doesn't do as much as they say it'll do. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. Don't forget, by the way, top of the hour, Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, a little bit of breaking news. You may have already seen it. I will just kind of step aside from the dipper for the moment and say, apparently, he did not get away with it. It looks like Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of the Russian Wagner group, was taken out today by Putin. And I don't mean like a little bit, like he was in a plane and a Russian missile shot his plane down. And so Yevgeny Prigozhin, he was a beast. He was an awful individual. He works for an awful individual, worked Vladimir Putin. That's anyway, does not pay to cross Putin. He's got missiles. You don't. All right, back to the Dipper. Magic bus. Hey, Boomer, you got that sound effect? Can you play it one more time? I mean, I think it's worth it. I think it is. It's... Every day I get the cue to get on the bus that takes me to you. Nice. I'm so nervous, I just sit and smile. Nice. Well, that's what we got. I mean, I look at this. I named this Dipper euphemistically because that's where we are, y'all. It's a magic bus. It's electric. Awesome. By the way, I do not mind if an electric bus works, use it. If it doesn't work, if it has a history of maintenance problems, if it costs five times what a diesel bus costs, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If somebody wants to prove that a diesel bus will harm students, then I guarantee to you we're going to be able to show you a whole bunch of us that rode these school buses growing up, and we're all fine. And nobody has any breathing conditions, and nobody, you know, has any debilitating lung illnesses because you rode in a bus. I mean, how many times did I ride to school, or for that matter, ride to a football game or something in a bus, ride in the back of a deuce and a half truck in the Army, you know, just, I'm saying, how many times did I go on as a youth pastor, go on a ski trip and you're unloading your skis from the bottom of the bus while the bus is sitting there idling, you know, just, it's that, by the way, that's, I will tell you right now, the smell of diesel burning evokes memories. And that's one of them. But electric buses are magic, man. Don't you know? They can appear in your motor pool and you'll have them. How does that happen? Because the government gives you money. Where does the money come from? Don't ask questions. Just take it. Okay, but the bus doesn't work. Ah, they'll send more money. Awesome. But I thought we got to have the charging bases. How do we get those? They'll pay for that too. Awesome. Well, is the charging station strong enough? No, but don't worry. Get it plugged in and then tell them you need more and they'll send you another one. Cool. And then next thing you know, kids are getting on these nice quiet buses that don't have diesel fumes and they're making it halfway to school. Albertville City Schools, according to Business Alabama, in late December of last year, Albertville City Schools, it says, will receive $7.5 million. This is Albertville, Alabama, by the way, up on Sand Mountain over there near Boaz, just above the hill from Gunnersville. Albertville City Schools will receive $7.5 million toward the purchase of 19 electric school buses. I don't want to do the math, but they're expensive. The purchases will be covered through a rebate program of the Environmental Protection Agency. Awesome. So the environmental EPA is now buying school buses. I didn't know the EPA's job was to buy school buses. I thought the EPA's job was, I don't know, manage the environment, not to buy stuff. The 19 electric school buses will replace older diesel-modeled buses in the fleet, with buses manufactured in 2010 or before being scrapped and buses manufactured in 2011 being sold. The school system will be able to keep the money generated from the buses sold and will also benefit from lower maintenance costs. We just saw how the lower maintenance cost thing works out. Not that great. The bipartisan infrastructure law of 2021 authorizes the EPA to offer these rebates, and it goes into the billions, y'all, into the billions with a B. I got a caller on line three. Let me jump over there and grab that before I'm out of time. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing okay. And, yeah, I'm with you with the nostalgia on diesel if you've ever been in a road barge with tanks and Bradleys and such. So.
Absolutely. And I've actually been behind Abrams when they're cranking up, and it'll actually scorch the skin right off your face.
Yep. But in any case, to get back to the point and everything, all these lithium ion batteries, have you seen some videos of some of the buyers on scooters, on Teslas? And what happens if you got a bus full of school children and that goes off?
Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right, man. It's
have
nuts.
A good one. Thanks.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. Yeah. And listen, there's other texts here that are agreeing. Mike from Athens just said, Awesome. Lower maintenance, actually making a bus route. He said, I'd rather my kids smell a little diesel than be sitting on a lithium bomb, to Brian's point. Or how about this? John from Huntsville. I don't know what he's saying, but John from Huntsville, I guess, has reacted to the fact that I've got Dale Jackson coming on my show here a little bit. He calls it, let's have a Dale Jackson day. John from Madison. I love the smell from the back of a deuce and a half. Yes. Thank you very much. Like I said, it evokes memories. John C. from Madison. Thank you for your service, by the way. Marcus from Huntsville. I'm not going to lie. My face felt that prop wash coming. So Marcus, apparently I evoked a memory. Yes. You stand in the back of a C-130 and hot load paratroopers. And oh, by the way, that prop wash, you'll feel it. You'll smell it. Some of y'all have memories right now. We got a brand new texter in the line, Dale from Arab. Dale from Arab. He says, you can look at the side of disposable masks before the pandemic, and they would say on the side of the box, not effective against viruses. Yeah, but, you know, hey, you could put a cloth diaper that was, you know, made by your grandma in your face, and it was all good then. And in fact, now that we got me back on that topic, how about the fact that if you got on a plane, you had to have a cloth mask on. And while you sat there, if you wanted to eat, you could take the mask off and eat as long as you put the mask back on when you're done, because apparently you're not contagious when you ate. The whole thing was jacked up. It was ate up like a soup sandwich, man. Just something else. All right, well, listen, we're about to take a break. When we come right back, it's the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. You guys stay tuned. Grand Council coming up next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.